Scripture reading this evening, if you'd like to follow along, is from James 3, verses 10 through 12. James 3, verses 10 through 12. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh.
Well, good evening. In keeping with our monthly lessons on discipline, that'll be our goal tonight, to talk about discipline. The first section, if you remember, was discipline of the soul. This particular section we're on, probably for the next at least five more months, will be the discipline of character. And we talked about integrity last month. This month, the goal, if you can kind of paint the picture, if you know what's happening in James chapter 3, is the discipline of the tongue. Now, I realize that you might think, well, how in the world does that build around character? I've quoted this quote before. You may have heard it before. It's, if your thoughts become your words become your actions become your character. You can really word it in different ways that you want to, but what we think becomes what we say, and what we say becomes what we do. The more tired you are, probably the more you're going to say that you didn't wish to say. The more agitated, whatever that might be. And the goal, really, of our character is not just to be a people of integrity, a people of honesty. It's also to be a people that are able to discipline the things in our lives that the world can't. Now, when you read through James chapter 3, what you'll realize is that what James is saying is taming the tongue is something that's not possible. To be able to do that would be really unrealistic to think that. However, to tame it for yourself, to discipline it in a way or bridle it to the best of your ability, that's the goal as a Christian. Because the greatest things that have happened in history often happen with words that we speak and words that we pen. But also, just as importantly, some of the most dangerous things that have happened in life, in our history as a nation, as well as within the church's history, happen with words that lead to action. When we talk about bridling the tongue, one verse that comes up is Proverbs 18 and 21. Let's read that, and then I'll give you the context of our lesson for tonight. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. That's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now think about that just for a second. The proverb writer, in one verse, so a few words, is really giving us a very meaty topic. And that is that life and death, both physically and spiritually, can come from our words. The words that are spoken here in this pulpit, the words that are spoken about God and about His ways and what we are supposed to do in our lives as Christians, or we're supposed to teach. Think about that. Life and death, spiritually. When you tell someone something from a physical perspective, you can truly take someone or lead someone down a path of death just as much as you can lead them down a path of life. The tongue can make or break your marriage. It can make or break your household. It can draw your children towards you, or it can push them away from you. It can take your job and allow it to be something that is a blessing to you. But you can also, in your words, be a curse to not just your fellow employees, but also your employer. When we talk about our words, when we're in positions of power, especially positions of authority, your words don't just affect you directly. You also affect others. Your words can lead to life just as much as they can lead to death. Our goal tonight is really to address two things. Number one is understanding how the bridling of our tongue, the discipline of our tongue, if you will, benefits us directly. And secondly, how the benefit of bridling our tongue affects others. In doing so, we don't just ensure that our discipline leads into character that God would want of us as Christians, but more importantly, to lead those to Christ as well. James 3 and 1, if you want to turn back there, we're going to read these verses here in James in the entirety of its context. That's James chapter 3 and verse 1. James chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits into horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in this same image or similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." This particular passage is one that isn't a troubling passage. It's just one that's really hard to accept. Number one, when you read through this, it kind of paints a daunting picture, doesn't it? That, well, James, what in the world are we supposed to do then if we can't tame our tongue? Notice what he says, though, throughout the context. He's not telling us that we're not capable of disciplining ourselves. We're not capable of turning the ship, if you will, or turning the horse's head, if you will, where we want it to go. The goal, though, is you have to be working at it. And if you have the pride in yourself to think that you have tamed your tongue and that you have really good control over your tongue, take a step back, because you're about to be humbled if you think that that's the truth. When God teaches us many lessons, one of the most important is that the words that come out of our mouths are very powerful. Notice what James says here at the very beginning. Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Many people want glory. Many people want honor. They want positions of authority, but they don't want the responsibility that comes along with it. They don't want the repercussions that come along with that responsibility and that accountability. When someone is appointed to the position of being an elder, appointed to the position of being a deacon, offered the opportunity to preach a lesson, to teach something, when we engage in those activities, when we do those things, when we commit to that type of life, it should never be taken lightly. But what we see in our world today, in the way that we discipline ourselves, in the way we discipline our tongue, how it directly affects us, and point number one would be, do you truly engage in desire to discipline your tongue on a daily basis? Do you really think about what you're about to say? Especially if you're angry, you're tired, you're agitated, you're happy, whatever you want to say, are you really thinking about what you're about to say? Or does it just kind of fly off the handle? The reason I bring up the idea of you being angry, being irritated, or being agitated is I'm sure we can all look back in our lives, and you can look back through history. It's a lot easier to say things that are pleasant and nice to people when we're feeling that way, when we're happy, right? One of the problems, though, in today's society is that we can't have debates with each other without it turning into a fight. That's a problem. It's been a problem throughout history, but it's a really big problem today. We can't have debates about politics. We can't have debates about religion. We can't have debates about anything in particular without it turning into a fight. And why is that? It's because we don't tame our tongues. When he talks about this idea of wanting to be a teacher, especially, you want to teach a Bible class, you want to teach a class, you want to teach someone about God, ensure that you understand when you do that and you take on that responsibility, you are taking on a very important responsibility. When you set out to teach your children and you have children or you're considering having children, think about the words that are going to come out of your mouth. Because when you hold that child in your hand for the first time, it's a paradigm shift. You go from realizing that life isn't about you anymore, it's only about that child and making sure that they get to heaven and that their life is better than the one that you've had for yourself. What you do in this life is going to be something that you choose to do. You choose your words. You choose your actions. What he's telling us here is that if you want to choose positions of authority, you want to choose positions where you get to teach and you get to train the next generation, think very hard before you make that decision. You need to, as the scriptures say, count the cost. Be sure that you know what you're getting yourself into. And once you have, there's nothing wrong with that. Ensure that daily you're working on disciplining yourself to be better. Words have a tremendous weight. When you think about the old saying of sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never harm me. I've said this before and I would say it again. It's one of the dumbest sayings that we've ever come up with. Because it's so dangerous to think that what I say to someone doesn't lead to something worse than if I simply physically assaulted them. I'm not saying that physically assaulting somebody is a good thing. That's not what I'm saying at all. But when you look at what's happening today in our society with cyberbullying and bullying in general, the way that we treat each other, what I was referring to earlier about matters of opinion, and we can't make decisions and have discussions that are difficult discussions without them turning into fights, that's a problem. We can harm people's futures and harm individuals' futures, most importantly, ours in the context of this first point, simply by our words, by not choosing to think about what we're going to say. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 3 and verse 13. That's Romans chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this idea of bridling the tongue. Romans chapter 3. Let's actually go back up to verse 9. So this context, if you will, is Paul explaining to the Romans about God's judgment, how he is a just and righteous God in the way that he treats us. Notice what he says here in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they in talking about those that are unrighteous? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. This idea that the Romans had that being a Jew was better than being a Greek. And his point is, no, as a Christian, regardless of your background, whatever your belief was before, as Christians now, we have to move forward. We can't look back to our old traditions. More importantly, a Jewish Christian is no better than a Greek Christian, is no more sinful than the other. Notice what he says here, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. And notice this portion of the verse. The poison of asps is under their lips. Most of us don't like snakes. Maybe you do. Maybe you have snakes at home, and if you do, good for you. I don't like snakes. When it comes to snakes, though, what you have to realize, and I have to realize from time to time, is that the majority of snakes that are in North America are not vipers. They're not venomous. But when you look at one, it looks pretty menacing, right? Asps, in that particular area of geography, that particular area of the world, very poisonous, very dangerous. Interesting that the comparison to the words that are coming out of, when he says their throat is an open tomb, The words that are coming out of their throat is nasty. It's disgusting. Yet, what kind of words are coming out of our mouths? Are they nasty? Are they disgusting? My friends, whatever comes out of your mouth is a representation of your heart. It's a representation of what you're thinking. The reason I brought up the point earlier about the idea that when you're agitated, you're irritated, it's because your filter comes off, right? I mean, when we're at work, they tease me a lot. Not that I'm saying bad things, but just that I'm a lot more blunt when I'm tired than I am when I'm not. I think we're all that way, are we not? And they'll say, Dylan, your filter is wavering. You need to bring it back a notch. We're all that way in some ways. When we become tired, we become agitated, you kind of lose your filter, right? My friends, the things that we say represent who we are. They represent our character. If we are not disciplined in the things that we say, and people hear you say those things, and they know that you're a Christian, what do they think of you? What do they think of us, who you associate with? It's all well and good that we came to worship today, but this is 4 hours of our life on Sunday and Wednesday. What happens outside of this building is far more important. That's not true. It's just as important as it is inside this building, what you do and what you say. The same words, when we look back at the passage of James in chapter 3, go back there with me to James chapter 3, he talks of how we're kind of using this tongue as a rudder, we're using the tongue as a bridle. He says in verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Think about that. The same words that you're using today to worship God in song and worship Him in prayer and study about Him and speak about Him potentially are the same words when you leave this building or don't, that are just as detrimental of what we talked about earlier in the proverb, life and death. So what are you choosing to say? What are you choosing to make a point of in your life? Is it the idea that I want to speak blessings to people? I don't want to curse them. Do I think about what I say? Because every word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to be held accountable for. Every word, both good and bad. Every word. Think about that. Every word. I'm sorry. Last week and a half, I guess it's my turn to get started. Think about the way that you are affecting yourself and your soul. Because what you say reflects on you. Now, secondly, notice what he talks about here in this context as well. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. You kind of sense a little bit of sarcasm in James's point here. Not that saying that people can't be perfectly taming their tongue, but I think I sense a little bit of sarcasm in that if someone's going to say that they're able to tame their tongue, good for you, dude. Good for you. You're able to tame the tongue. You're probably wrong, but good for you. In James, he goes on to say, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Do you think people are like that today? Right, the tongue in reality, from an anatomical perspective, is nothing in comparison to the size of your bicep, to your back, to your femur. It's a small little organ or a little piece of your body, but it boasts many things. It's a very powerful weapon, both for good and evil. How do you use yours to affect other people? This is the next point of our lesson. When you talk about disciplining your life as a Christian, you talk about disciplining yourself to have that type of character that you want. Think about what we read towards the end of James. In verse 10 through 12, what does it say? Out of the mouth out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? When you talk to people, do you talk to some in a positive manner, an edifying, and in others, a discouraging manner? How are you affecting people positively? James 3 and 13, if you skip down, this comparison he continues to make. Who is wise and understanding among you? It's this question that he asks. He says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. What is wisdom? It's not just experience. Wisdom and understanding are something that we glean from experience, in part, but more importantly, we can glean from God's Word. I've quoted this in every lesson. I might as well quote it in this one. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to grow in your understanding, you want to become wise in understanding of what God wants of you, how you should speak, how you shouldn't speak, what would be considered a blessing for someone versus a cursing, read God's Word. Listen to God's Word. When we are studying, we have to have that type of intent. The tongue can bless or curse. We read that in this passage. The tongue can wound or soothe. The tongue can speak the fairest things, and the tongue can speak the foulest things. It is one of life's hardest duties, and it is one of life's plainest duties, to see to it that the tongue does not contradict itself, but that it ever speaks only such words as we would wish God to hear. The writer Barclay says that about this particular portion of the passage. Think about what you're saying, because it doesn't just affect your soul. It affects others. Now, when I say blessing and cursing, what do I mean by that? Let's look at a few passages, and then we'll talk about that. Ephesians 4 and 29, Paul, in writing to those in Ephesus, Ephesians 4 and 29 has this to say. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In your speech, are people hearing the grace of God in you, or a curse? Something detrimental to them, something unedifying, if you will. Matthew 12 and 37, let's turn over there and take a look at that as well. Matthew 12 and 37. Matthew 12 and verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What I said earlier wasn't just a paraphrase. What I said earlier was this. What you say in this life is not just a reflection of your character. It is dictating what's going to happen to you at judgment. Your words and your actions, you are going to be held accountable for. And no one can save you from them except for Jesus Christ. No one can save you from them. If you choose willfully to continue to speak ill of people, to speak ill against people, to lead them down the paths that they shouldn't go, don't be surprised when judgment comes if that's something that you didn't want to hear. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. I don't know you. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. We'll read two more passages and then we'll make our final concluding points. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. That's Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Continuing in verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. I've always really liked that way of saying things, and this really sums it up well for us in verse 21. Many times in my life I've heard people say that, you know, a sermon or a class, they don't feel like they're getting fed. Let's talk about that for a second. What comes out of our lips needs to be the Word of God. And what it takes with the Word of God to make us better for the kingdom, not just ourselves directly, but those around us. When we use that term, essentially this is what people are saying. The lips of the righteous feed many. Jesus sometimes refers to himself as manna, the manna of God, or we talk about the bread of life being the Bible. If you want to grow, you want to be the way that you can be, and you want others to be that way too, and to hear that in you. The lips of the righteous feed many. Notice the contrast, though. But fools die for lack of wisdom. There's many great passages in the Proverbs as well as Psalms about the contrast of foolish and wise, those that are righteous and unrighteous. But really, in dealing with the tongue, there are a lot of things that we can choose to say to make someone's life better. So what would be the application for that today? What would be the application for us? And what would be the application for those around us? James 3 does a good job of explaining that for you. Your tongue is a rudder. Your tongue is a bridle. You choose how much you want to pull back on that bridle and how much you want to use it. You can very easily saddle a horse, put a bridle on a horse, get on that horse, and let it take you where it wants to go. Truly, I've done that on accident, not intentionally, and I haven't ridden a horse since. You can do all the things and all the preparations to get to that point, but if you don't use the bridle, it's irrelevant. It's pointless. It's a tool. God's Word is that bridle. It's a tool. It sharpens your mind. It builds a wall of protection around you. But more importantly, it teaches you what to say and how to say it. The Scriptures tell us, be angry and do not sin. It's okay to be angry about things, especially whenever it's a righteous indignation. But when you let anger, you let your emotions allow you to say things and do things, but more importantly, not to bridle your tongue, you are not just endangering your soul, you're endangering the soul of others. When you engage in gossip, when you engage in slander, when you engage in anything that is not productive and edifying to those around you and to your soul, you are sinning. You are choosing death for someone and yourself and not life. Think about that for a second when it comes to discipline. And that is what we'll close with. Discipline means continually working at it. Continually working to improve upon your previous mistakes and your previous triumphs. James's point here is not that you can perfectly bridle the tongue, but you have to use it. A few days ago, I was on the pond out at our house, and the rudder of the boat that I was in wasn't working. If you've ever been in a boat and you can't guide it where you want it to go, it's really annoying, but it's also really dangerous. Because if you think about a giant ship that no longer has a rudder, it has no way to steer itself. A congregation without shepherds that are leading it in the way that they should is a congregation without a rudder. A nation without God that is not using Him as that guide and that bridle, if you will, is a nation that's going where it shouldn't go. And I'm not trying to say that in a sense of nationalism. I'm just saying in the sense that everything that we do in life should be guided by God's Word. He spoke them to enable us, just like He spoke us into existence and spoke this world into existence. Words are powerful for both good and bad. So think about, when we leave here today, how you discipline your tongue and how you failed to do so in the past. Think about what you say and also how you say it, because it doesn't just affect you, it also affects those around you and those that you have an influence on. Tonight wasn't a lesson about salvation, but it most certainly was, in essence, a guide, if you will, to discipline for the soul, discipline for our character. You want to learn how to do that if you're not a Christian. You want to learn how to be righteous and learn how to do those things the way that God asks of you, that you may have eternal life. You find that in His book. You find that in the Bible. He tells us in Romans chapter 6 that if you want to wash away those sins of your past, no matter how horrible you think they may be, to be buried with Him in baptism and to come up into a newness of life can make you righteous before Him and His Son. And if you haven't been living righteously, you haven't bridled your tongue, you haven't used that rudder that God has given to you, fix it. Use it. Be the person that you're capable of being. And discipline yourself daily to be better tomorrow than you were today. If there's anything we can do for you tonight, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.